You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. This is a live recording from the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference.
Hey, it's Jimmy Carboni with the Heritage Radio Network. I'm here at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, and my next guest is Martha Holmberg. She's a cookbook author, and I've met her at the IACP conference, so we're good friends. We go way back.
We do. We were sort of in the trenches together at last year's conference, which was great.
Well, it's there's so many people that overlap. We have friends from IACP, Oxford Encyclopedia, and now the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. So tell me what your role is at this conference, and you're on any panels and books that you're representing.
I was on a panel yesterday. It was a workshop called Cookbooks 360, and really was just focusing on what goes into the editorial side of a cookbook. So we really broke it down from beginning with the idea, which sounds kind of simplistic, but there's an awful lot going into finding out what is the right idea for this time, which market, you know, what's your competition. So we had a group of, it was an interesting panel because we had a cookbook reviewer, and then we had a book publisher, and then me as representing the author's point of view. So we talked about all the dynamics, from idea to creating your content to, you know, testing recipes, which is like a big black hole, and then marketing.
That's the hard work, isn't it, testing recipes?
It's a lot of hard work, and a lot of people don't realize what a kind of responsibility it is. Because once a recipe is printed in a book, you're like, you know, people are relying on you to have given them something that's going to give them some great food. And the publishers themselves, they don't take on the responsibility. They don't test. So it's the author who needs to turn in a recipe that, you know is going to work in anybody's kitchen, which is kind of a tall order.
Yeah, so who are some people that you've worked with that do recipe testing?
Well, I have people out, I live in Portland, Oregon, and I have a couple of people out there who've been to culinary school. They've worked, you know, as professional cooks, and yet they understand home cooking, working in a home kitchen, because it's very important to not test a recipe from the point of view of an experienced chef, because you can make anything work well, you know. You can fix the problems as you go along, but that's not what you want. You want someone who's going to read line by line and say, like, hey, Martha, did you really mean to brown that for 25 minutes? Because it was brown in three, you know. And also adjusting for equipment and the fact that your stove is crappy, all that stuff. It's important.
All right.
And it's a fun job because there's always something good to eat at the end of the day. And we usually would break out a bottle of rosé towards the end and, you know, enjoy what we do.
I think that's why I'm in this business, too. I like that part of it.
Yeah, it's very important, you know. It's all
and
the context.
How many books have you written?
I have written three books under my own name. I've worked on a lot of books when I was the editor at Fine Cooking. We did a lot of compilation books and things like that. But I have three of my own, two of them which actually just came out this year. One on crepes, which is really fun. It's a little book with tons of savory and sweet crepe recipes. And then my most recent book is called Modern Sauces. And it's really taking a look at, you know, classic French sauces as well as all of the sauces from other cuisines that were wanting to eat and cook today, and pulling those all together and really demystifying sauce making, because I find so many people are like, oh yeah, I love to cook, but I don't do sauces. I don't know how to make sauces. They think it's something that requires special skill or it's time consuming. So my whole book is about, like, it's easy. It's great. It's easy.
So are you of the school that someone should only, if they learn like three different sauces, then they can cook almost anything? Or are there certain basic sauces that you'd recommend to people?
Yeah, well, I broke it into, categories where the sauces either shared the basic ingredient, like herb sauces, so pestos and chimichurri and charmoula and all that. The method is a tiny bit different, but essentially you're creating the same type of sauce. And then I have other sauces where it's all about the same technical method, like a hollandaise or a zabayon. And I think once you understand what's happening on, like, the architecture of the sauce, then you can do all the variations that you want, and you can figure out what to serve it with or how to change it. I think that's a problem with a lot of home cooks in this country, is they follow a recipe, but they don't really understand what's happening beneath the surface of the recipe, you know? So they're not really learning. They're just relying on the words.
We're going to go to the more pop side of it. What do you think about ketchup? Because I know so many people there's always been vinaigrettes and new interesting sauces and modern, you know, molecular gastronomy. But there's ketchup, and it seems like there's only Heinz, and I haven't seen anyone really making a new ketchup. So what do you think of that?
People have tried to beat the Heinz formula, and it's pretty hard. It's actually too. There's a couple of people out in Portland who are doing an interesting ketchup. But I don't know. I think we're just, there's a certain balance. It's like A1 sauce, you know. I just adore A1 sauce. And there's a balance in there that's hard to get from other sauces. I'm not a big ketchup consumer. I think I have a jar of ketchup in my fridge that I've had for 6 or 8 years, perhaps.
And it lasts that long, doesn't it?
Gets a little crustier around the top. You just wipe it off. Yeah. Now, it used to be the Hunt's versus Heinz, but I think Hunt's has finally given up. Heinz rules.
Yeah, it's funny because we in New York especially, we meet a lot of new food entrepreneurs, and I always get sampled on products. And, you know, for a while, I was getting a different ketchup every month, and none of them really took off. But mustard seems to do well. I know more people getting into going whole grain mustards. And
that's true. I think in mustard, maybe people tolerate a little more variation, you know, because you don't – it's okay if one's a little hot or one's a little smoky or one's a little sweet. In ketchup, you don't really – yeah, you don't really want that variation. Mustard, I think you should only eat French fries with Dijon mustard anyway. Like, forget the ketchup, so – I'm a big mustard fan.
So sauces. How did you get involved in working on cookbooks and all that?
Jimmy, that's a story that goes a way back. I actually, when I decided to learn to cook and go to cooking school, I ended up getting an internship with a person named Anne Willen, who is a British woman. She's written about, I don't know, 30 cookbooks. And she ran a school in Paris called École de Cuisine La Varenne. It was a really wonderful cooking school. And I worked for her for free for a year. And in exchange, I got my whole Grand Diplôme tuition. And I kept working for her. And so I was an editorial intern on a bunch of books. And it was amazing training. She taught me all about, you know, really good recipe writing technique and what goes into publishing. And that just kind of launched me on my way.
It's great. I mean, are other friends of yours here today that are kind of either your mentors or people that have inspired you?
Well, I have a lot of great friends here today. This Roger Smith Cookbook Conference is just kind of like a cool magnet. A lot of people from various segments are showing up here. So Kathy Gunst, I love. She's a cookbook author, and she's on the radio. She lives up in Maine, but she's a New Yorker at heart. And Catherine Alford is a good friend. And Catherine went to the same school that I did in Paris, so we have a little bit of shared history. She's over at TV Food Network. Lots of journalists. Joe Yonan is a great food editor at the Washington Post, and we've worked on some projects together. So it's you walk down the halls and you run into your friends. It's a good source of gossip here.
Yeah, no, this is really great. It's kind of intimate. And there's some great publishers, too, like Harvard Common Press is here.
Yeah, definitely. Harvard Common Press. There's some people from Workman here and Houghton Mifflin. You know, the publishers and the book editors want to be here because this is where a lot of ideas are getting exchanged.
Wow, that's really cool. And then you have another job, too, don't you? You're doing some kind of publicity? PR work?
No, that was in a past life. My sort of day job is as communications director for the IACP, which you mentioned earlier. It's an association of culinary professionals where the members come from all over the place, including outside of the U.S., and we have sort of a virtual office, so I do my job on the West Coast. My colleagues are in the Midwest and on the East Coast and sometimes in Italy, so we're out and about. But yeah, so that's kind of my day job, and then the cookbook writing is what I do in the other 24 hours a day.
I know you're very busy. So the next ICP, so we had the ICP conference this past year in New York.
Yep.
And that's how I met you and a lot of other similar folks who are here today.
Yep.
At the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. So what's up for San Francisco? It's in April.
The conference is in April from the 6th to the 9th in San Francisco, and our hotel is right across the street from the Ferry Building, where there's amazing food and restaurants and the farmers market. We have a really cool theme for this year. It's called From Dirt to Digital, and so it's going to explore this whole creative tension between all the focus that we're putting on, like DIY and fermentation and farm to table, all the sort of old traditional values, and yet at the same time we're like you mentioned, we're exploring molecular cuisine and modernist cuisine, and everything is digital, and we're all, you know, doing our own digital radio show and podcasts and television. So we're all, I think the food people are all living very intensely in both of those worlds. So we're going to explore that through a lot of the sessions.
It's amazing. There's so many great ideas. Before I had Jackie Gordon on, and she was talking about she's going to do a cooking show where it's going to be live streamed. And the people that participate, they might send the food too, so they can eat while she's talking on air.
Yeah. Yeah, it's becoming kind of a multi-sensory, multi-channel, really great way to connect with people. I know a lot of people, especially in the publishing world, are a little confused because the old models are being upended, but there's so much potential and so many fun, exciting things that we can all do now. So it's a great time.
Well, that's great. So, Martha, just say your name on the air and any affiliation you want to mention.
Martha Holmberg. I'm on Twitter at Martha Holmberg and also through IACP.com. So.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the air on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. Visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, for all of our 30-plus weekly podcasts. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.